Well, 122 islands make up the pristine Houtmanabrolhos Islands, an archipelago with crystal blue waters, an abundance of sea life. And a visit to the islands is a must for everyone, including our own intrepid travel expert, Mr. Christopher Parry. Hello, Chris.
G'day, Chrissy. How are you?
I'm very well indeed. Now, what made you head for the Abrolhos Islands?
Well, just before we do that, I'll just cross off my list, because you've already talked about a couple of the big points there that I was going to talk about, how many islands there are as part of the Abrolhos group, 122 in total, so we don't need to talk about that.
Sorry, Chris, I was just excited.
That's okay. Yeah, I just thought I'll do the research and I'll talk about it, and you've given it all away in the intro, but that's okay. It's a magnificent group of islands to get to.
Yeah.
It's actually split up into three different groups. And of course, I guess the interest for me, which has drawn me there this time, is the history of the Batavia and numerous other sea wrecks as well. But it's an extraordinary place to go to for the present as well, as its grim past. And if you look at the Leeuwin Current, which most people in Western Australia would be familiar with, that nourishes the waters of Rottnest and up around Exmouth as well, and certainly for the Abrolhos Islands, that Leeuwin Current nourishes 200 species of coral. And to put that in perspective, the Great Barrier Reef has probably double the amount of species of coral, but spread over a much larger area. Whereas for the Abrolhos Islands, those small atolls, you get this rich diversity of coral over a lot more closely focused and packed coral reef for diving and snorkeling on.
So, Chris, it's a bit of a hike, isn't it, from Geraldton to get to the Abrolhos?
Yeah, there's a couple of ways of getting there. The easiest way for a member of the public is with an air charter, and you can land on one of the islands in the Wallaby group. There's other ways. You can go on boat charters as well. There are a number of boat charters, and I guess if you know someone that's got one of the accommodation over there, the camps for the fishermen, then you could go across on one of those boats as well. But certainly the easiest and quickest, if you're a tourist, would be to hop on an air charter, land on the island, do some snorkeling in Turtle Bay, and then you get a flight over the other islands as well, including the ones where the shipwrecks are, and you get to fly over and still see the wreck site of the Batavia from 1629.
I haven't been to the Abrolhos Islands. We've sent crews up there before with the Destination WA, the travel show I work with, but haven't been lucky enough to get the gig to go across. But when I have gone through Geraldton, I've been to the WA Museum. Now, in your opinion, is that the best place to stop off to find out the story before you go out there?
Yeah, I guess you can do it two ways. I've had a fairly long history of being interested in the Batavia. So I was quite happy to make the trip out there, but then made sure I went to the museum afterwards just to confirm a few things and things I'd thought about. But if you don't have a background to the events and what else the islands are known for, its fishing history, then certainly start with that museum. It is a wonderful museum for the history of the area, certainly the Midwest, but it's certainly got a great number of displays and information that are specifically targeting the Abrolhos Islands, and you'll learn a lot before you go that will come in handy.
Chris, can you actually, you mentioned that accommodation that's on the island, you can't, can you actually stay out there?
No, not unless you're with someone that's part of the fishing community. There is some talk about setting up some sort of eco-accommodation, a camp perhaps out there, but certainly nothing as yet. So at the moment it's a day trip. And a day trip with lots of adventures to be had.
Now, I believe from reading your Chris Parry Writes for Us blog, or your website there, that you've met someone very famous while you're out that way. Is that correct?
Yeah, that was a good experience up at the Abrolhos. I was there with my daughter, and we were doing a bit of beach combing along the way there it was Turtle Bay, and all of a sudden we got a cry for help. And marooned on the beach with holes fixed as fast on the sand as the Batavia was all those hundreds of years ago were a couple of jet skis where the tide had gone out and the two people there couldn't push them back. And one of those jet ski drivers was Australia's Minister for Foreign Affairs, Julie Bishop. So that was an interesting moment to be able to help her. get her back in the water.
So you just pushed her off, did you? Pushed her out?
Yeah, we did the right thing. We sort of waited for a wave to come, and then you give it the push when you get a bit of water underneath, and her partner and my daughter and I were able to help get them back into the water, and off they went with a nice wave, and thank you very much.
And did she ever send you a thank you note?
I think we did get a thank you note, yeah, and a nice letter for my daughter as well.
Fantastic.
I think I might have actually written it at some stage that in that same year Matilda and I had met Ashton Agar on Rottnest. So here we are going to another island meeting someone famous, but in Matilda's eyes, I think Julie Bishop trumped Ashton Agar.
Oh, dearie me. Yeah. All right, so up here at the Abrolhos Islands, how many people visit up that way?
Going through the Midwest, I guess it depends on whether they're travelling further north or not, and I guess that's the trick for people in the Midwest, is to get people to stop and actually spend some time. And I don't have the numbers on that, but given the success that museum is having and the opportunity now to explore with different charters the Abrolhos, I'm sure the numbers would be on the rise over the past few years from previous visits I've made. And I think that the history of those islands, particularly with the Batavia, is becoming more well known. And I think that's the beauty of tourism for Western Australians, is going on adventures that then get you Googling or visiting the local museums. And that's what's so rich about Western Australia, is this history that you can go and visit and then you can go and learn more about.
Yeah, of course, of course. Have you ever fished off the Abrolhos?
No. The first time I went through the Abrolhos, though, and did have some fishing lines off the back, but I was on the sail training ship Lewin, and it was at night. And the only thing we saw were the waves breaking on the reef. It was probably the same view that people on the Batavia had, wondering what the hell they were going to do just before they hit the reef. But yeah, I would love to go up there on a boat, probably the same size as Lewin, to chuck some lines off the back, because I do believe that the fishing's extraordinary. And certainly the fish you see in those bays are big enough to provide a wonderful feast.
Yeah, it would be indeed. So where did you guys stay when you were in Geraldton?
Stayed at one of the, I'm just trying to think, it's the Ocean Hotel, right in the middle of Geraldton there. So that's close to the foreshore, which has got a lot of good sort of restaurants around it. And you're also only about 5 minutes walking distance from the museum. So it's always good to sort of stay where you can just walk to the places you need to have a look at. Mm-hmm. And the charter itself, you just get out to the airport yourself sort of early in the morning, and then you're back in the afternoon, and easy to get one of the local taxis back into town as well. So if you're going up to Geraldton, you're looking at about 420 kilometres, but I wouldn't sort of rate how long it's going to take you based on that distance, because you need to take a bit of time on the way up to look at some of those other seaside towns like Leeman and Durian Bay and Dongara. So give yourself 5 to 6 hours to drive up there, get up there nice and relaxed, stay for a couple of days and spend the time hopping on a plane and getting out to this amazing group of islands.
It's good advice. Chris Parry, thanks so much for coming in and sharing your travel adventures with us again.
That's okay. And I think next week, if anyone's interested and they'd like to contact me through my website or contact the station, let's get some ideas for the best sunsets around the world, where people can go for the best sunsets.
All right. So next week we're going on a hunt for the best sunsets around the world. And you can, Chris Parry writes for us at your website, or you can give us a call here at 882 6PR and put forward your suggestions, and we'll have a prize for our best caller as well. Chris Parry, cheers. Good travels.
See you later. Bye.
Happy travels, Chris Parry, from Chris Parry Writes for Us. That brings us